The student who solves the problem. However, the catalyst, el culpable del bien, is the Vaughn method and the Vaughn teacher. We transform the student into our accomplice, nuestro cómplice, cómplice en el crimen de aprender inglés de verdad.
Hello and welcome to Speaking Football. My name's Tommy Hay and I'm joined here in Madrid by my colleague Rubén Palomero for episode number 106 of this series. Thank you to everyone out there for joining us today. Remember, if you're joining us on the radio, welcome. And if you enjoyed listening to Richard Vaughn live over the last hour, you can hear more from Richard after this show on La Hora Extra. So as always, stick around. Now, there are lots and lots of interesting things to talk about on today's programme. In a few minutes, we'll be trying to find out the English translation for the Spanish expression cantar el alirón. And later, Rubén and I will be challenging each other to see if we can guess some very complicated idiomatic expressions in English and in Spanish. We'll end our show, as always, with our weekly press review, where we'll discuss, among other things, Glasgow Rangers' heartbreaking defeat in that penalty shootout against Eintracht Frankfurt in Seville, as well as Steve McManaman's comments about why he thinks Liverpool are indeed the favourites to win the Champions League final. We'll also be discussing this season's La Liga Team of the Year and teaching you how to say salvar la categoría in English. So lots and lots to do. First, though, let's begin the programme, as always, by revealing the identity of last week's mystery player.
Mystery player.
Okay, Rubén, you can kick us off with clue number one.
He played in England. No, in England, no. He played in Germany, Spain, the United States and Qatar, and not necessarily in that order.
Very good, exactly, yeah. So he didn't play in England. He played in Germany, Spain, the United States and Qatar, but as Rubén points out, not necessarily in that order. Clue number two, he started playing football in San Cristóbal de Los Ángeles, which is an area of Madrid, I believe.
Yes.
San Cristóbal de Los Ángeles. So he started playing football for them. Clue number three, Rubén.
He called one of his children Jorge after Jorge Valdano. Para decir como en memoria o por, se dice after. Es súper chulo eso.
To name someone after, yeah, like nombrar después. That's what we say for to do en homenaje. Or in honor of someone, you can also say to do something in honor of someone.
Sí, en homenaje.
That's it. But it's most common just to say to name somebody or to call someone after. So he called one of his children Jorge after Jorge Valdano. So we are seeing another Madrid connection here, which is a big, big clue. Clue number four, he played at three World Cups, 1998 in France, 2002 in South Korea, and Japan, and 2006 in Germany. So three World Cup campaigns. And clue number five, Rubén.
He was famous for his ability to scoop the ball over the goalkeeper.
Very good. Now, to scoop the ball over somebody, can we remind them what that means?
Sí, scoop the ball es como arrastrar la pelota de abajo arriba, prácticamente sin golpearla.
Very good, exactly. And in Spanish, I believe you say golpeo de cuchara.
De cuchara.
De cuchara. So you say to spoon the ball over somebody. We wouldn't say that. We would say to scoop the ball over somebody, like an ice cream, to scoop the ball over somebody. So he was famous for his ability to scoop the ball over the goalkeeper. Very good. Who was our mystery player, Rubén?
Our mystery player was Raúl González Blanco.
Very good, exactly. So one of the most famous Spanish players, certainly of my lifetime, and I would say of all time, Raúl González Blanco, absolutely incredible striker. And some people think you'd probably say he's up there. Maybe not everybody would agree, but he's up there in the top 10 Spanish players of all time. Famously, though, he missed out on the big victories, 2008, 2010 and 2012. He wasn't part of that team. So he was maybe born a little bit too early.
No, yeah, especially the chains. The chains in the national side was when Raúl and other players don't come back to the national side. Mm-hmm. And it was very polemic in his moment. Mm-hmm. In this moment, and for example, the gaffer in that moment, Luis Aragonés, was very criticized
yeah.
about this decision.
Yeah, exactly. So very controversial, we would say, polémico, very controversial. And you're totally right. He was very heavily criticized, is what we would say in English, for his decision to drop, remember that verb, to drop a player, to not play players. He dropped Raúl, Joaquín Sánchez, and Guti, I think, as well.
No, Cañizares.
Cañizares.
Albelda.
Albelda.
Even Juanito.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, but the most significant player was Raúl.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd say so. Salgado too. Raúl was most significant.
It was a change of team, and it was very brave, Valiente, very brave.
Yeah,
to
because
do
it's not easy, because they have a lot of pressure, and when he decided to call him to the
take him up, very good, call him up. Yeah. Not when call he decided up. Not to call him up, yeah.
It was very difficult because he was insulted in a lot of places.
Very good. Yeah, he was insulted. He was, what would we say? The press tore him apart. So you think of the verb to tear, mm-hmm. to tear. They tore him apart. It's like machacar. In Spanish. So to
he
tear
was
someone apart.
Smashed.
Smashed. Yeah, he was smashed by the press. He was torn apart by the press. Absolutely. So yeah, it was a very brave decision from Luis Aragonés to do that. But at the time, Raúl was so popular that they couldn't believe that he wasn't going to play. However, he was correct. He made the correct decision, I think. Did we have many winners this week, Rubén?
Yeah, of course. For example, CBP, que nunca falla, siempre está ahí. CBP mm-hmm. siempre acierta. Víctor Álex García, que siempre nos deja un comentario, dice, the mystery player is the greatest, the seventh, the authentic Raúl González Blanco. Speak football. He was an excellent striker on forward. He had a good smell inside the box area, and he was an authentic killer. Bueno, yeah. Killer aquí, cuidado con killer, que los ingleses, le dices killer, no se van a enterar de lo que están diciendo.
Es more like asesino en inglés.
Ya, le diría que eso era asesino, y diría la gente, Dios mío, le dejaban jugar al fútbol. No, en España decimos killer como un goleador de área.
Un goleador, yeah. A top goal scorer, we would say, or a real goal scorer. Remember, if you say auténtico, I would say a real something.
A real whatever.
He was a real goal scorer, he was a real fox in the box, is what we say sometimes.
A real fox in the box. For example, también acertaron Mauro, que claro, acertó Román Bayón en un clásico, Javier Montero, y por supuesto, Tony Sánchez, que dice, el gran Raúl González.
Fantastic, well done. Well, José Ramón also got the correct answer in La Val du Show. Dear Ruben, I am most pleased you picked such a fantastic and kind person for this week's mystery player. In fact, Raúl González deserved to be mentioned in your show. It's true, we haven't really spoken about Raúl too much in this show, and we probably should a bit more. Funnily enough, Jesús Gil, the former Atlético Madrid president, signed Raúl as an infantil, so and cadete, so this infantil cadete, these are the young youth players, no?
Youth players.
In the youth academy. For Atletico Madrid, so that's where he started off. But what made Raúl sign for Real Madrid? Well, Jesús Gil decided to close and get rid of, deshacerse de, get rid of his youth academy, thus saving what he, Jesús Gil, said was unnecessary expenses, gastos innecesarios, mm-hmm. unnecessary expenses. Raúl then moved to Real Madrid, and Ramón Mendoza quickly signed him for the Cadetes, and he soon promoted him to Juvenil C, I think is the next level, and so on. Atletico Madrid's fans never forgave, nunca perdonaron. They never forgave Jirugil for this gesture of having Real Madrid sign Raúl. Very soon, Raúl became Emilio Butragueño's replacement and one of the best Spanish footballers ever.
Te cuento una cosa, te cuento una anécdota que me pasó a mí. When I was at the university, for mm-hmm. example, Raúl González is a bit older than me, not too much, okay. but 1 or 2 years, no more. Mm-hmm. And I was at the university the third year. In the third year, you have an special event and you are a diplomatura. I don't know how you say that.
Diplomatura. I'm going to have to look that up.
The third year. And when mm-hmm. I was with my dress and waiting for to be there, and I was very, very slim.
Uh-huh.
And I have a little bit, it was a little bit looked like Rambo.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's this noise. The problem was someone saw me coming through the hole in where we are and said to another guy, I listened to him, "Well, is that Raul?" And I went to the bathroom, okay? And I heard that, but I go very quickly. And when I went out, there were 10 people waiting for me.
Oh my
in
God.
Order to discover it was Raul or not. Obviously, I wasn't. But...
Obviously, I wasn't.
Yeah.
That's interesting. So you really, I think you need to send me a photo of you when you were younger.
Yeah,
I'm trying to imagine.
Era muy delgado, así con la nariz parecida a Raúl, así un poco larga. ¿Lo visto? Y ahí podía aparecerme. Y además, como no era tan conocido, en ese momento acababa de salir de la cantera del Madrid, salía la tele un poco, pero la gente empezaba como a ponerle rasgos. Y me llamó la atención porque lo vi al entrar al baño y al salir, estaban esperando a ver si era o no.
That's really strange. I have a friend, Gonzalo, his name is, and he looks very, very similar to Coque.
Mm-hmm.
He was saying one day, like, he was walking down the street one day, and somebody stopped their car and opened the window and was shouting, "Coque!" and stuff like that. And it's incredible when he goes out to bars and things like that, people think it's Coque. Like, what are you doing? You're playing a game tomorrow. Why are you out? But yeah, it's really, really strange. I'm quite happy that I don't look like anybody because I think it would be quite a strange experience. But yeah, fantastic. And very, very amazing story with Jesús Gil closing the academy in Real Madrid.
There is a video in which you can see Jesús Gil talking about the Atlético de Madrid youth team. Mm-hmm. I don't remember, maybe infantil, and saying, "Well, this is the team who won the league, and the best one is Raulito, who scored a goal." And Raul with the Atlético de Madrid jersey.
So, yeah. It's really, really strange. Like, but you know, it's what happens, and I don't think anybody at Atlético feels bad about it in the sense of they don't feel angry at him because it's a natural thing to do. You go to the next best team, but he was an Atlético supporter when he was a kid and all that. And it's a very, very, very strange moment. But yes, Jesús Gil was a very strange man. So it's not the strangest thing he ever did in his life by any means. Very good. Well done to everybody who took part and got the correct answer. Raúl González Blanco was indeed our mystery player for this week. Now, it's on to our first section of today's programme, which is, of course, our football cliché of the day.
They started on the front foot.
When you're under the car, you know.
You're not at the races.
Then no chance to put the game to bed.
Cliché of the day.
Now, our cliché today, we're going to do something a little bit different. Normally, it's an English cliché, but I've decided today that we're going to take a Spanish cliché and we're going to translate it back into English. So there was an article in a Spanish newspaper, I believe it was Diario AS, the other day, and it was talking about Almería.
Marca.
Yeah, looking at it now. Yes, actually, it's Marca. You're absolutely correct. So it says, "El Almería espera ascender y cantar el alirón ante el Alcorcón." I didn't know that. That's obviously, that rhymes, rima, that rhymes.
Tú sabes que cantar el alirón es viene del inglés, ¿no?
Interesting. So this is why I wanted to translate it. Okay, so cantar el alirón. First of all, it's a positive thing.
Yes.
And it basically means to win the league.
Yes, to win the league.
Or to could you say cantar el alirón for for a cup?
No.
So it has to be a league. Okay. So to win the league is what you would say. So we would say something like to lift the league title, I suppose, or lift the league trophy. You don't lift the title.
No, es algo así como de festejar, es como festejar y ya decir que eres el campeón.
To proclaim themselves champions.
Y es el momento, y la clave es el momento en el que ya puedes hacerlo. En un campeonato, en una liga, lo puedes hacer un día, una jornada antes, dos jornadas antes, o tres o cuatro con el Madrid este año, pero en una copa, pues hasta el último segundo del partido, todo puede pasar. Pero
So what I would say, Ruben, is I've got a translation. To be proclaimed champions, yes, what we would say, to be proclaimed.
This is the moment you can proclaim champions of something, mm-hmm, and obviously when you are in a league, not in an eliminatory tournament.
Right, okay, it's not in a knockout tournament, it has to be a league thing. Okay, so to be proclaimed champions is what we would say. We use the passive, the voz pasiva, the passive voice, to be proclaimed champions, cantar el alirón. Now, you said it comes from English. I don't see an English word in there.
We have to come back very, very far from these years. We are going to go to the north of Spain, in Bilbao, in the area about iron industry.
The iron industry,
when there were an accident of iron, he used to write a post in which you can read all iron.
All so iron.
All iron means that there was an accident of iron, and the workers they are going to earn more money. Like a plus, like a bonus.
Okay,
so when the people have that situation, they were very happy. And they don't know a lot about English, so they don't seem great, all iron. They read it like an Spanish guy.
Alirón.
This moment of celebration, mm-hmm, was mixed with when a team win the league, and seeing that, like when you are winning something.
Yeah, because it's a celebration.
Celebration is all iron, alirón, alirón, alirón. It's the same. I'm going to be happy. You pay more money on my team, win the league.
Fantastic.
Alirón, alirón, and especially to say the complete sentence is, uh-huh, alirón, alirón, el Athletic es campeón.
El Athletic es campeón. That's it. Yeah, alirón. Very interesting. So, yeah, it is related to English, and it comes from a thing. I was looking at the word and thinking that has nothing to do with English, but iron. The pronunciation of iron is a bit strange because we don't say iron, we say iron.
Iron.
Perfect.
De hecho, hay que entender también que en aquella época España vendía la contratación de producción de las minas de todo tipo. Uh-huh. Eran momentos en los que el Estado no generaba dinero sobre ellas, sino que las rentaba a capital, sobre todo británico.
Uh-huh. That's it. I think the same thing happened in Argentina. There's a lot of influence between Scotland, England, Wales, and Argentina as well.
Sí. Y es la razón porque muchos equipos empezaron a llamar con terminología inglesa, porque había muchos inmigrantes ingleses trabajando en esos lugares. Mm. Entonces, al final surge el Recreativo de Huelva, was the Recreation of Huelva.
Ah, but they were Scottish. They weren't English. They were Scottish.
Well, yes. not only I said British.
British. Okay. British. Yeah. Yeah, it's true. Yeah, British. Yeah, like the Recreativo were two Scottish guys. I think it was the Mackay brothers was their name. Sevilla was founded by a man from Dundee. So there's an amazing connection between Scotland, England, and Wales, and these places. And it's true. A lot of the places in Argentina have like English names. Newell's Old Boys,
River Plate.
Yeah, it's really, really, very, very strange thing. And Boca Juniors, I suppose. Juniors isn't a Spanish word.
True.
But it's very, very interesting that. So yeah, but I like this cantar el alirón. So to be proclaimed champion is what we would say. So the translation of the title could be Almería hopes to go up, hopes to be promoted. Almería hope to be promoted. El Almería espera ascender. Y cantar el alirón ante el Alcorcón, to be proclaimed champions against Alcorcón. That's what we say, to be proclaimed champions. Very good, very interesting, and a little bit of culture there as well. Okay, now it's time to move on to the next part of today's show, which is something that I really enjoyed this year, which is a little challenge where Rubén and I try to guess each other's idiomatic expression. Now this section is called Play on Words.
Play on Words.
Now, I'm going to need a dictionary for this for my part, because there are one or two things that I have to explain to you about English in my section. So, Rubén, would you like me to start with a...
However you want to.
However I want. Okay. Well, I'll give you an English expression first. My English expression to start with is to grind out a result. To grind out
of a result.
Yeah, to grind out. So grind, I've just seen here. Okay, I thought this was the conjugation. I thought this was a verb because of a song that I listened to, which is Moliendo Café. It's a Cuban song. Moliendo mm-hmm. Café. And the verb is moler. Moler.
Ah, yeah, because gran es algo así, ¿no?
Grind. G-R-I-N-D. Grind.
Ah, grain, not grind.
No, grind.
Because grain is grano.
Grain, G-R-A-I-N. Depends on the grano. Okay. If it's on your face, that would be a spot, S-P-O-T.
Okay, grain, and this case is grind.
Grind.
G-R-I-A-I-N-D.
No, G-R-I for Iñaki, G-R-I-N-D.
Grind.
Something
like a smash?
No, it's moler. So what do you do with coffee? When you have the beans...
Mm-hmm.
You have the beans, you grind them, and you make like polvo, no? You make dust, you make that kind of thing.
Machacar un resultado, ¿no?
Machacar, sí. Well, actually, moler un resultado. So we say to grind out, O-U-T, to grind out mm-hmm. a result. So machacar un resultado, or literally moler un resultado.
Wow. So, moler un resultado. Okay, can you tell me a day or a situation in which a commentator, and imagine a commentator, can say to grind a result?
Mm-hmm, to grind out a result. The team was able to grind out a result today. You could say it's important. Now, do you remember the expression squeaky bum time?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Alex Ferguson quote.
Exactly. So Alex Ferguson talks about squeaky bum time, which is the los partidos más importantes de la temporada, just at the end. So the most important mm-hmm. games of the season, when you're approaching, when you're coming to the end of the season, that's squeaky bum time. Well, at the end of the season, it's very important to grind out results.
Okay. Yeah. Could be. I think. You're talking about because to grind a result is como. For example, if you are not playing very well, but you are winning the match and you can get a good result, even when you are not playing well and you are going to do like something routinary, you are going to do your grind. Your grind of a result. Could be something.
Yeah. So you're on the right track. Yeah. To grind out a result. So. It's not necessarily playing badly, but it's kind of like winning, maybe winning or getting points in an efficient way.
Yeah.
De forma eficaz. In an efficient way, you're
easily grinding out results. Huh? Easily. You're going to grind the result.
Not always. No, it's not necessarily easily. It's like, in fact, it's probably more like difficult. You know, it's like you're making a big effort. You're working very hard and you're able to grind out a result. It just means that you're able to win when it matters. You're able to complete the job. You know, just like I don't know how you would say it in Spanish.
Sí, es que es muy complicado. Es como sí, como cuando tú sacas. Ah, sí, decimos una cosa que es poner el. Es complicado. Sería algo así como ganar los partidos de una manera casi pones el piloto automático y los vas ganando todos. Estás grabando los partidos y estás como sin no fallas. Y vas para adelante y you green out our shot, ¿no?
That's it. Yeah, no fallas, basically. Ganando sin fallar. Yeah, basically you're winning and you're not making any mistakes. You're getting the job done. You know, you're getting the job done. And so you're grinding out results. Is what I would say for that one. I'm going to give you a point for that. I think you more or less guessed it. Yeah, I think you got well done. Excellent. Okay, next one for me.
Okay, your word, I'm going to look for it, is a Spanish word that you can use in another countries in South America. Mm-hmm. But the word is escorzo.
Escorzo.
E-S-C-O-R-Z-O. Un corzo, sabes que es un animal, ¿no?
Ah, okay. Well, what
like
kind
a deer.
Of... Yes,
and it's not going to help you to know that.
No.
Tiene que ver. Escorzo. Y te voy a dar una pista. Muy importante. Es un tipo de remate.
Ah,
y si, if you watch a match, you are going to help to the commentator to say el remate de escorzo ha sido tal. Menudo remate de escorzo. ¿Qué es un remate en escorzo?
En escorzo. Ah, okay. So I've just googled here. Corzo is a deer. You're correct. Yeah, a roe. we say a roe deer. R-O-E. Roe deer. Los corzos macho tienen astas. Male roe deer have antlers. Okay.
Sí, pero no te. No, esto te va a despistar más que.
No, it's not.
Un corzo es un animal, lo sabemos. Pero en este caso, en fútbol se dice mucho remate de escorzo, remate en escorzo.
¿Vale? Remate en escorzo. Right. Okay. Now I'm trying to think of a movement that the deers do. They're very agile. They're very flexible. They're very agile.
Yeah.
So is it something? And you said remate. So it's an attacking thing.
Sí, es un remate. Es una forma de finalizar a gol.
Right. Okay.
And I say that one of the most spectacular goals you've ever seen has sido el remate de escorzo.
Right. Okay. Okay, I think I probably know what it is. If it's some kind of like, see, I don't know if you want the specific one, but is it something? I'll try and think of it. Did Rivaldo do this?
Yeah, of course. What a specialist.
Yeah.
Remate
de I remember. Did he score? He scored one, I think, from outside the box once against. Maybe I can't remember.
No,
who it was
Valencia.
Against. Valencia. That's, you're absolutely right. Okay, I know what it is.
Santiago Cañizares.
That's it. It was
Majo Cañizares, el día que le explicamos qué significaba su apellido, que nos contestó en redes sociales.
Yeah.
Lo sentimos por él, pero Rivaldo le metió un golazo. Sí.
Right, okay. So it's an overhead kick.
Yes, Tommy. Point for you, it's an overhead kick.
Fantastic.
Bueno, técnicamente un escorzo es cuando el cuerpo está en posición oblicua o perpendicular a nuestro nivel visual. ¿Vale? Entonces, bueno, podríamos ese remate en escorzo de Rivaldo acabó en la red.
Un remate
de escorzo cuando te estás prácticamente en posición vertical a nuestro nivel visual y se usa mucho en el periodismo para comentar un tipo de remate.
Right, escorzo. Yeah, like I've heard it before. Yeah, I've googled it here as well. It says escorzo means torsion. Torsión. Mm-hmm.
Sí.
So it's something you do in yoga, for example. Is worth it. But remate, so it's like you're twisting your body. That makes sense. So in English, remember, we say an overhead kick, literally una patada por encima de la cabeza.
Efectivamente. Una patada por encima de la cabeza.
Yeah, and you say a chilena here in Spain all the time, no? A chilena.
That's chilena o chalaca.
Chalaca, I remember that from a few months ago. So to do an overhead kick, or in the case of you score the goal, to score an overhead kick. So Rivaldo scored an overhead kick against Valencia. You're absolutely correct. Yeah. That was a very good game as well. I think there was lots of goals in that.
Yeah, he scored three in that match and was very important for Barcelona because if he didn't win the match, they weren't going to be in the Champions League next season.
Mm-hmm. That's it. Yeah. So it was to qualify for the Champions League.
Rivaldo is a great player and overestimated.
Mm. Over or under?
Underestimated. Sorry.
Underestimated.
Underestimated. One of the best players I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Very good throwing the free kicks.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very good player.
Yeah. No, he was fantastic. I remember him in the World Cup in 2002 and he was like unstoppable. He was really good, but it was just a very good Brazil team.
Yeah. Ronaldo had the we say in Spain, uno lleva el agua y el otro la fama. We say about the rivers. Pues Rivaldo, Ronaldo tenía la fama y yo creo que Rivaldo era el que portaba mucho en esa selección con Ronaldo, Ronaldinho.
That's a good verb, aportar. He brought a lot to the national team. So to bring, we would say traer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he brought a lot to the national team, aportó. Very good, excellent, fantastic. Well, we're going to have a very quick break in just a second. However, I'm going to give you your next expression, Ruben, and I'll let you think about it over the break. Mm-hmm. The expression is to break the bank.
Romper el banco.
Romper el banco, yeah. So to break the bank. Now, we're going to talk about this in just a second because it's an expression that you can use in lots of different situations. So it's a very interesting one. I really, really like it, but we hear it a lot in football. To break the bank. I'm going to take a quick break now, and then we'll be back in 5 minutes. Stick around.
¿Te levantas? ¿Una ducha? ¿Te tomas un café? ¿Te vistes? ¿Otro café? ¿Coges todo para salir? ¿No encuentras las llaves? ¿El coche tarda en arrancar? ¿No arranca? ¿Por fin? ¡Atasco! ¿Más atasco? ¿Llegas al trabajo? ¿Otro café? ¿Reunión? ¿Otra reunión? Haz una pausa y disfruta. ¿Mejorando? Aprendiendo con tu curso trimestral por videoconferencia. Con todo el dinamismo e intensidad de una clase Vaughan en una plataforma rápida y de fácil instalación. Por fin llega tu mejor momento del día. Cursos trimestrales por videoconferencia. Haz tu reserva en el 911-33-5833. 911-33-5833.
Ruben, welcome back everybody to Speaking Football. Now, Ruben and I were talking about two interesting football phrases.
Okay.
The first one in English was to grind out a result, which is to win when it matters, to win difficult games. And if you're grinding out results, it means that you're being very consistent, very, would you say regular, very consistent winning, ganar sin fallar, basically. You're not making mistakes, no cometer errores. You're grinding out results. You're winning games when it matters. And the other expression was remate de escorzo.
Remate en escorzo,
which is an overhead kick in English, chilena, an overhead kick. Very, very interesting. Now, before the break, I gave you an expression which is to break the bank.
To break the bank. Okay. I am going to need you help me. Who broke the bank lately?
Who broke the bank lately? Very interesting. Well, probably lots of clubs are breaking the bank at the moment. Now, I don't want people to be confused. They might be thinking, well, break the bank, romper, roto, rota. Ah, entrar en bancarrota.
No, it's not
entrar en bancarrota. Okay. That is. Do you know how to say entrar en bancarrota?
Sí, bankrupt.
Yeah, to go bankrupt.
To go bankrupt.
But it's not that. It's not to go bankrupt, to break the bank. But it's something that happens a lot. For example, I'm trying to think of a team that's doing that. Florentino Pérez is known, conocido, he's known for breaking the bank.
Be careful, Tommy.
he could be listening right now. Could be the end of us.
Breaking the bank. For example, when Florentino Pérez broke the bank, last time he broke the bank.
He's done it at various points in his career.
Yeah, one question. Did Florentino Pérez break the bank when he signed Ronaldo?
Let me check.
Well, great question.
He doesn't always break the bank on football players, you know. You can break the bank in other things. So like for example.
I'm thinking about when something is very expensive or very difficult or it's very difficult to get.
I'll give you a non-football expression. I'll come to your despedida de soltero. I'll come to your stag party, but I don't want to break the bank.
Eso es como desmadrarse.
It sounds like that. Maybe that was a bad example. I'll come to the restaurant, I'll only order drinks. Because I don't want to break the bank.
Porque you don't want no quieres arruinarte, no quieres gastarte mucho, ¿no?
Gastarte mucho, that's it.
Exactly. To break the bank. Exactly. I don't want to break the bank.
Because when we're talking about it, it's basically a bank. In English, we say a piggy bank, which is like a hucha, a piggy bank. And when you see it in movies and things like that, and the tradition is that you buy the hucha, you buy the piggy bank. You put the money inside, but you don't open it until you're ready to, until you have to. And the tradition is you take a hammer, a martillo, you take a hammer and you break the bank.
Break the bank, break the piggy bank.
That's
okay,
it.
So let's go to that. I don't want to break the bank.
Don't want to break the bank. Yeah, I don't want to spend money unless I absolutely have to. So Florentino Perez, when he made the first Galacticos signings, he broke the bank. You know, he spent a lot of money because he felt it was absolutely necessary.
Ah, okay, okay. O sea, break the bank es gastarse mucho dinero.
That's it. And they didn't really, Manchester City, for example, they didn't really break the bank with Erling Haaland because Haaland was only, I think, 50 million.
Not too much.
So in today's football, that's actually not breaking the bank. PSG broke the bank with Neymar.
Yeah.
You could say Manchester United broke the bank with Paul Pogba, you know? So it's to spend a lot of money when you think it's necessary to do so. That's to break the bank.
Okay, I'm going to use break the bank.
Oh, it's great. It's great. You can, and you can use it in lots of different situations as well. So it's excellent. Okay, next one in Spanish.
Okay, next one. The next one, we are going to go to Peru.
Peru. Like interesting.
Peru?
Fantastic.
Peru
okay.
It's a great place.
Yeah.
And the word is camotito.
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 Okay, camotito. Now, you're going to have to help me here because that gives me absolutely nothing, Ruben.
I'm going to give you a highlight.
Okay.
From a newspaper. Dice, Aldo Corzo, it's a player, ¿eh? Aldo Corzo, perdió en el camotito y bailó como castigo en la videna.
Oh, my God. Right, okay.
Pero te puedo cambiar los nombres si quieres, ¿vale? Por ejemplo, vamos a poner un nombre que podría funcionar exactamente igual de un jugador aquí. Puedes decir, Luis Suárez perdió en el camotito y se enfadó mucho. O se picó.
Se picó mucho.
Se picó mucho. Porque perdió en el camotito.
So it's a negative thing. It's something that makes you...
No, camotito no es una cosa negativa. Camotito es algo, es una actividad futbolística que tú puedes hacer con tus compañeros.
And you lose, you can win or lose this, so it's a competition.
You can win or lose, yes. You can win or lose. You can win, tú puedes ganar en el camotito. Ah, es buenísimo el camotito.
Oh my God.
¿Qué será camotito?
The camotito. And you, it's something that you do, some kind of challenge. Would you do this at training, I imagine?
Yeah.
You don't do it in a game.
Yeah, you can do the training. Yeah, no, not in a game. Not in a game.
No,
bueno, en algunos, some time to time, in a match, you can say they are doing a camotito. But the most common thing is in the training. Yeah.
So some kind of challenge. I'm trying to think of things that you can
say. You can use camotito in a match. Yeah.
Right, okay. Okay.
But it's not very haciendo un camotito, ¿eh? Están haciendo un camotito. En el partido, están haciendo un camotito.
Okay, I think I won't do that. Oof. Is it like, so it's something that you try to do? It's something maybe, see, I was thinking like filigrana, you know, like showboating, but that's not a competition. So it can't be
no,
that.
No.
But it's something to do like in terms of like skill, maybe?
You are good. You are a technical player. You are going to do better the camotitos.
Okay, I'm going to gamble here. Is it like to do a tunnel, a nutmeg?
Is that your answer?
Yeah, go for it.
No, no puede ser.
No, see, I was brave. I was brave.
La traducción literal de camotito es juego que consiste en que un grupo de jugadores da pases en primera evitando que un compañero contrario les quite o toque la pelota. Es un rondo.
Oh, rondo.
It's a one in the middle, two in the middle.
See, I was thinking that rondo, but rondo's not a competition. That was the only thing that made me think.
Sí, pero en un partido lo dices, están haciendo un rondo.
Uh-huh.
Están haciendo un rondo, porque están jugando tan bien que no tocan la pelota. Uh-huh. De hecho, si lo ves en el 5-0 del Barça al Madrid en la época de Mourinho, en el Nou Camp, lo dijeron 50 veces los comentaristas, están haciendo un rondo. Porque el camotito es el rondo en Perú.
Right, okay, so that's what they do. Yeah, now that's like, you know what the problem is? We don't really do rondos too much in Scotland. It's not really, I think maybe nowadays.
But you say one in the middle, no? Or...
Piggy in the middle, another
piggy
pig
in the middle
thing. Yeah, piggy in the middle, like cerdito. Cerdito en el...
En el centro.
En el centro, yeah, piggy in the middle is what we would say.
Sí, aquí en España, los pequeños, si eres pequeño, se puede decir hacer un pato mareado.
Un pato mareado, like a dizzy duck.
A dizzy duck. You're dizzy in the duck. Middle of the circle and you're the dizzy duck.
And we say that in Spain.
En español diríamos rondo, hacemos un rondo o pato mareado para si eres un niño.
I like pato mareado. That's really good. A dizzy duck. It works in English as well. A dizzy duck. No, we say piggy in the middle.
Piggy in the middle. Además, el camotito, cuando decíamos que Aldo Corzo perdió en el camotito, es que estaba en la zona del ronce y no coge la pelota, entonces y le tocó bailar. Bueno, pues como bromas que hacen en el fútbol, te puedes enfadar porque te hacen un caño.
Yeah. That's why I was thinking, like, maybe it's a nutmeg, a canyon.
Sí, tunnel. Yo pensaba que lo ibas a acertar porque estabas muy bien encaminado. Te has quedado con la otra opción que era hacer un túnel o algo así. Pero
yeah, that's Camotito
es el rondo que conocemos en España.
Right, okay. Interesting. Very, very good. Okay, fantastic. Well, we're going to move on to our next section of today's show. I've once again lost to Ruben 2-1, but I think it was a dignified performance by me. But Ruben, you're once again the champion. So we're going to move on to the next part of today's show, which is this week's press review.
Press review.
Okay, now, Ruben, lots of things to talk about on today's press review. It's been a very busy week in football. We've already spoken about Almería going to Cantar el Alirón, proclaimed champion against Alcorcón. We're going to have a look now at something that happened this week, which was the Rangers fans in Seville. Now, Rangers obviously got to the final of the Europa League, and they were playing against Eintracht Frankfurt, and people were very worried about the behaviour, el comportamiento, the behaviour of the Rangers fans. I went to Seville to watch it.
Yeah.
The game.
Yeah, we have a great budget at the program, and we sent Tommy to Seville in order to then we can talk about what he saw.
Well, I can say, because I haven't watched the television in the last few days, but what was the television saying about the situation with the fans? What was it, a positive thing or was it a negative thing?
Well, I suppose when there are going to be two different followers from supporters from different teams, this is a negative thing because they are going to earn a lot of money. So it's very interesting for the city. But obviously, if they know that a lot of them, they're going to be drunk at the street, and it's something people don't want to have in your city.
Yeah, exactly. Well, this is the thing. There were a lot of drunk people. Like, that's undeniable, innegable. There were a lot of people who were a little bit drunk. But I have to say, I didn't see any fighting. I didn't see any really bad behaviour. I didn't see anybody doing anything particularly bad. The only thing I saw was a lot of litter. Do you know what litter is?
Yeah, litter, yes. Garbage on the streets.
Exactly. There was a lot of garbage in one square in particular. It was quite near Setas, the area of Setas in Seville. So there was one square that was a little bit dirty and it didn't smell very nice. And it was just not the best. But in terms of the actual behaviour, I didn't see any fights. I actually saw some, the fans were getting on well. Llevarse bien is to get on well. So the fans were getting on well. And there's an article here from the Independent newspaper which says, Rangers fans wowed Spanish police with impeccable behaviour in Seville. So to wow somebody.
It's very onomatopoeic word, no?
Wow. Yeah.
Wow. It's wow.
Exactly. So to wow somebody, impresionar,
wow.
I would say.
Yeah, when you say wow. Okay.
That's it. Because when you're impresionado, when you're impressed, you say, oh, wow.
Wow.
So you can use it
as
a verb.
I was wowed. Yeah.
I was wowed by this. Just means you were impresionado, you know, you were very, very impressed. So Rangers fans wowed Spanish police with their impeccable behaviour in Seville. Police confirmed on Thursday that none of the estimated 100,000 Rangers supporters following the Europa League final were arrested. So that's quite amazing. Nobody was arrested.
Great.
After the thing.
Not just people, greater.
Yeah, like, I cannot believe it that happened. Not that I have much faith or belief in Scottish people, but it's just 100,000 people. You think maybe at least five or something will be arrested, but no, there was absolutely nobody. So yeah, very, very impressive there. We're going to go back to Spain now, and I want to talk about the La Liga team of the season. El equipo de la Liga, this is from Marca. El equipo de la Liga, the team of the season. La Liga team of the season. Mm-hmm. 3 jugadores del Madrid y 2 de Barça, Sevilla y Betis. Okay, so how would you translate that, Ruben?
What do you want to translate?
The title, you would
the
say?
The title. Well, the La Liga team, mm-hmm. 6 players from Real Madrid, 2 from Barcelona, Sevilla. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very good.
Betis.
Exactly. That was the trampa. That was the trap I wanted to see. What did you do? So, yeah, remember, we were talking about Seville earlier because it's the city. And when we're talking about the team, it's Sevilla. It's the same with Rome. Rome is the city. Roma is the club. Napoles, in English, we would say Naples. And what do we say for the team?
Remember? Naples.
Yeah, but in English?
Napoli.
So we say the Italian there. So Sevilla and Seville are the same thing. So the team is, I'll read it out for you. Benzema, Modric, Pedri, Vinicius, João Félix, Militao, Courtois, Alaba, Fekir, Koundé, Canales, Acuña, Araujo, Muniain, and De Tomás. Not a bad team there.
Hay uno que yo no entiendo.
Tell me. What one do you not understand?
In my opinion, if you are going to choose the best players this year, mm-hmm. I think João Félix wasn't there.
He shouldn't be there. No, debería estar.
He shouldn't be there.
Shouldn't be there. Interesting.
What do you think? I think they are looking forward to include an Atletico one, but João Félix, I think, is not done the best season.
Do you think João Félix is the best Atletico player this season? I don't know.
I don't
think in Europe, maybe.
I think people, journalists, everybody was expecting more from Atletico de Madrid, and they are trying to include one and this selection, but it's very difficult.
It seems like a long time ago, but you have to remember, until 2 weeks ago, or 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, Atletico were the champions of Spain. But they didn't play like it this season. You know, I know that Simeone has been saying that it's been a fantastic season and all that, but I think he's exaggerating a little bit. I don't think it's been too fantastic a season. There have been moments, you know, winning against Manchester United, for example, was a big moment. And you know, they have had good moments in terms of the title. Obviously, the victory against the victory against some of the bigger teams in the league as well, Real Madrid and things. So, yeah, but it's not been a good season for them. So I was a little bit surprised as well, Felix. Yeah,
in my opinion, better Carrasco.
Carrasco. Maybe
better. Carrasco better than João Félix.
Mm-hmm, possibly. Quite possibly. Yeah, that's interesting. Oh, well, it's an interesting one. Is there anybody else that you would include apart from Carrasco? Any other players that you think maybe deserve to be in the team?
Maybe you think a lot about what can include if you can change someone. Mm-hmm. But I think it's a great selection.
Yeah, yeah, that's a great team. It's a great team, really is. Yeah, yeah. Muniain as well. I think he's been fantastic for a few seasons.
The best one.
Yeah.
Pedri, very good. Araujo, very good. Militao, I don't think so. At the end of the season, he wasn't playing very well. But let's see how he's doing that in the Champions League in the final against Liverpool. Mm-hmm. Be careful, Militao, because he didn't play very well against Cádiz the other day.
No.
And Courtois, the best goalkeeper, sure. Alaba, great. 2 Vinicius, awesome this year. Mm-hmm. Let's see how play Vinicius next year with Mbappé on the other side. Raúl de Tomás, spectacular.
Yeah.
Acuña, well, could be.
Acuña, I was talking to some Sevilla fans the other day, and they said that Acuña is like the best player at the moment. So
yeah. But Koundé played better 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. This year it wasn't the best one. Fekir is a great player. Canal is very good, especially at the end of this league. Mm-hmm. Well, it's difficult. In my mind, it's difficult to select all these players, but well.
Yeah, I know. There are 20 teams and you know, some teams will have multiple people. So absolutely. Very good. Well, another story related to a Spanish team. Steve McManaman the ex-Liverpool and Real Madrid player, he said, el Liverpool será favorito y ganará. Okay, mm-hmm. So let's translate that together. McManaman?
Yeah, Liverpool will be the favorite and will win.
Very good, exactly. Yeah, Liverpool will be the favorite. I would say the favorites, because remember, plural. So they will be the favorites and they will win. And they will win.
And we use will instead of going to, because it's not sure it's going to win.
Well, yeah, they will win. They're going to win. Yeah, I think they're both kind of, they're quite similar. The thing I would usually say is if you use the future in Spanish, like it será, ganará, we would say will. Going to is like va a ganar. You know, like, for example, el Liverpool va a ser favorito y Liverpool va a ganar. It's just a different way to say it. But yeah, if you want to be 100% correct, you should translate the future as will and going to as va a hacer.
Yeah, because, for example, will against going to, when you are learning the language, when you are learning English, you always have a teacher that he's going to tell you that there is a rule you can break never when you use going to and you use will. And you are going to have an exercise and you have to decide. And that's told you, when it's a sure decision, you are going to use going to. However, if you are going to a possibility, you are going to be will. And when you have the reality, you are going to discover that from time to time, you can use both, and it's not so strict.
It's true that when we have a prediction, when we make a prediction, normally we would use the future. Yeah, will. Yeah. But I suppose maybe that comes from certainty. I don't know. If you're making a prediction, I would say they will win. They will win, yeah. So that's what McManaman thinks. He thinks Liverpool will be the favourites and Liverpool will win. He had an interview just earlier this week, and I like this verb, mojarse. Mojarse is to sort of get involved in something. Yeah, to get involved in a debate. If you want to say no me mojo, it's like I don't get involved, or I'm not going to get involved. Or no quiero mojarme. I don't want to get involved in the debate. And he said very clearly that he thinks that Liverpool are the favourites. What do you think?
I know what's going to happen.
Uh-huh.
If someone wants to bet, they can do it. Mm-hmm. Liverpool is going to win 4-0 in the 88 minutes. But at the end of the match, Real Madrid is going to come back. The result is going to win it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, no doubt.
That's what's going to happen.
There'll be three goals from Benzema. Probably a freak own goal from Virgil van Dijk.
And Modric is going to score a goal from the middle of the pitch, and it's going to be like a two goals. A new rule, and they are going to come back very short.
I thought it was going to be a penalty shootout, and the winning penalty, the decisive penalty, would be taken by Florentino Perez. That was another prediction that I saw on the internet. But yeah, it's like, you know, I think it's obvious that Liverpool are the favourites, but who else was the favourite? PSG, I would say, were the favourites. Chelsea were the favourites.
Manchester City were the favourite.
Manchester City were massive favourites.
And even Chelsea were the favourite. And all of them, I think they were better than Real Madrid, but Real Madrid is going to beat you.
Yeah, I know. It'll be a very, very interesting one. That the what do we call it? We say the bookmakers, or the bookies, the Casa de Apuestas, the bookies, they are predicting that Liverpool will win, and quite big odds in favour of Liverpool instead of Real Madrid. So it's an interesting one. But I don't think you can discartar. You can't write off the possibility of a Madrid win. Never, never, never. Lastly, this expression, salvar la categoría. Now, any idea how to translate this, salvar la categoría?
To avoid the drop.
Very good. To avoid the drop. Well done. To avoid the drop. You can also say, I always teach people to say, quedarse arriba is what we say in English.
To stay the drop.
To stay arriba?
To stay up. Top.
Stay up.
Stay up.
To stay up. Remember, drop is like...
You can say stay at the top of the classifications on the timetable or...
timetable's horario. I would say to be at the top of the table would be like to be first, second, third. But to stay up is literally salvar la categoría. So the article, it doesn't say it here, but Everton's safe, like a salvo, that kind of idea. Everton safe after Calvert-Lewin completes epic revival. Revival is another way to say remontada.
Ah.
Revival. You don't hear it too often, but in newspapers, that's what they're talking about. An epic revival against Crystal Palace. So it was a remontada, it was a comeback. The Palace were winning 2-0. Go in the 21st minute and the 36th minute. And Everton, if they lose, you know, it's possible that they go down, that they won't stay up. And then they scored in the 54th minute, the 75th minute, and then 10 minutes later in the 85th minute. So absolutely incredible.
Wow, awesome.
Really, really amazing. So they did a great job and they have stayed up. It's confirmed that they have salvado la categoría. They have stayed up this season. So congratulations to Everton from all of us here. Very good. Excellent. So lots of good football expressions there in today's show. Now, we don't have too much time left, so it's time to end the programme as we always do. By giving you the clues for next week's mystery player.
Mystery player.
Okay, Ruben, let's go.
Clue number one. Our mystery player was a one club man.
Very good. No se traduce, one club man. There's no translation. One club man. So our player was a one club man. Number two. He scored the fastest goal in the history of the Champions League final. So, sorry, I made a little mistake in my script. It was el gol más rápido en una final de la Champions
League. Sí, porque el gol más rápido normal lo marcó Mackay.
Roy Mackay, it was like 9 seconds or something like that. Sí, it was absolutely
contra, incredible. Contra el Madrid. Pero el de una final, no.
No, in a final, it was this player who scored the fastest goal in the history of a Champions League final. Yep, very, very interesting record to have. This is an interesting one, Ruben.
He considers himself to be the biggest loser in the history of football.
Very good. He considers himself to be the biggest loser, perdedor, el jugador más perdedor, to be the biggest loser in the history of football. And remember, loser, if you're listening, you might think that means pringao. It does, but in this context, it's perdedor. Okay, so I think the idea is that he's lost more games. He focuses on the games that he's lost rather than the games that he's won. So he considers himself to be the biggest loser in the history of football. Se consideró él el jugador más perdedor de la historia. Very interesting. Very. That's a winning mentality, that una mentalidad ganadora. That's a winning mentality, I would say. Number four, he's the second of three generations of footballers. So padre e hijos futbolistas. Okay, he's the second of three generations of footballers. So a great footballing family. And clue number five, Ruben.
He was named in France